The Lord has blessed us with another beautiful day to gather in His house to worship this morning. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to encounter Him this day. All God's people said,
amen.
Thank you, Mark. What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this fall Sunday morning. And it finally feels a little bit like fall outside, right? The cold weather is here, at least for a week or so. But it's good to gather in the warmth of the presence of our God, our Creator God, who controls the seasons. And all who experience them, I hope that you will encounter Him in worship this day. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning here at First Baptist Elon. You can fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plate following worship this day. For those that are watching this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. I do want to remind you that you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up the worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our hour of worship this day, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer online this morning, thank you for finding us. We're excited that you joined us online for worship this day. Send me an email this week and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. This afternoon, we have a busy afternoon of ministries today. Of course, this afternoon at 1:30, we have our worship service at Blakey Hall. Of course, anybody and everybody's welcome to come to that service on the second floor in the main building at Blakey Hall. We look forward to that time of worship this morning. This afternoon at 4 p.m., our adult Bible study, Hidden, will continue. Today, we're in session 4 of our study. And, of course, you can also join that study online on Facebook Live, but the discussion's always better when we're gathered together in the fellowship hall. So I encourage you to come for that time of study. And then, of course, at 5 o'clock, youth and children will be meeting this evening. Looking ahead to this week, as you look in your bulletin, just a couple reminders that team number 10 is serving at Joe's Diner on Tuesday at 5:30, and then choir rehearsal will be at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. We had a wonderful day of ministry that took place yesterday for annual Missions Brunswick Stew. I want to extend a appreciation to all those that were involved, especially to Kramer and Jimmy, who headed our Brunswick Stew up this year, and all the hands that were a part of making this a successful day of ministry. And the way it's a success is not about how good the Brunswick Stew tastes. I'm sorry, Kramer, that's not what makes it a success. What makes it a success is that you purchase it, you use that in the days and weeks to come, especially during this cold weather, and every dollar that is raised will go to support missions here at First Baptist Elon for the entire year. So, if you ordered stew and did not come by and picked it up yesterday, immediately following worship service, I encourage you to drive up to the upper parking lot. We'll have a couple up there in the fellowship hall who will be handing out the stew that you pre-ordered. But also, we have a lot of stew that is ready to be purchased. You didn't have to pre-order. So if you'd like to pick some up today, it's $9 a quart. And you can just go upstairs immediately following the worship service in the fellowship hall and pick those up. And spread the word to your family and friends. We have quite a bit, and we'll be handing out stew this week, all week. That's usually what happens this next week. So I hope you received your November newsletter in the mail or by email this week. There's so many things in that that newsletter for the month of November. I encourage you to look at it, look at all the details of it. You'll see things about missions. You'll see things about worship. You'll see so many opportunities coming up for the life of our church. Today, we conclude our collection for the residential treatment services. We'll be collecting those items throughout the month. If you have those items still, I encourage you to drop them off in the containers here in the communication center or upstairs in the fellowship hall. If you forgot to bring it today, make sure you bring it by tomorrow morning, and we'll make sure it gets to residential treatment services of Alamance. Next Sunday, I do want to remind you, you'll notice in your bulletin, we do have daylight savings time coming to an end. This is the one we all enjoy because we get that extra hour of sleep. So fall back next Saturday night and then join us for our worship service at 11 a.m. next Sunday morning. That'll be an All Saints Day focus for our worship time next week. I apologize. Now may we lift praise to our God and King who encounters us on this Sabbath day. Let's worship Him this morning.
Our first song this morning is As the Deer, and I want to read something to you, but I got to pull this up to read here. It says, "As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God." And that comes from Psalms 42:1. And I was telling the choir on my way in this morning, about 7:30 this morning, I was crossing over, if y'all familiar with Indian Valley Country Club out where I live, And there's a stream right where I had to come to a complete stop, and there were three deers crossing the road going to that stream. And when I was looking at this, I was like, oh, wow, what a coincidence. But let's stand and let's sing.
Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 84, reading verses 1 through 7 this morning. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And that's why we've gathered here today, to encounter our God this morning and lift up praise to Him. Join me in prayer this morning. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. We long to be where you are, to stand in your very presence and to behold you face to face. And so we've come to this place today. We have gathered together to worship you, to offer the praise which belongs to you alone. Bless us as we worship you together and as we open our hearts and our minds to your presence among us. For you alone are God, the one in whom we trust. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is an old hymn, Lily of the Valley. Let's stand and sing this old familiar hymn.
First Baptist family.
Good morning.
Our ministry highlight this morning is about our ministers. October is Clergy or Pastor Appreciation Month, and our congregation is blessed to have two ministers who are truly worthy of our thanks and appreciation. Our senior pastor, Dr. David Durham, and our music minister, Ms. Gay Collins. Answering the call to enter full-time Christian ministry is a serious, life-changing decision that involves sacrifice and a lot of work that goes well beyond a typical job description. Being shepherds of a congregation is not easy, especially when some of us are hard-headed. Ministers wear lots of hats and are called upon to help people in many ways. They help us celebrate weddings and births. They show up when you or a family member unexpectedly goes to the hospital. They help us grieve and cry when we experience loss. They plan and lead worship each week to honor and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I listed all the things that David and Gay did in a typical week, we would be here past lunchtime. Most importantly, Gay and David love us and pray for us. But they don't do it alone. Not only are we blessed with our ministers, we're also blessed with their family members that help them. If you happen to notice last Sunday in the sound and technology booth, everybody back there were the immediate family members of Gay and David. Jerry was running sound, Luke was running the Facebook live feed, and Jennifer was making sure that the projectors were projecting the words for us. Stacia and Larry pitch in quite a bit too around here. Have you guys come up for a minute? So to show our appreciation for you, the congregation was asked to write notes and cards of appreciation for each of you. And we've assembled them today in these decorative boxes. You can read them all at once. You can take out one a day and read it. What I hope you'll do is keep these by your desk here at home. And when you need a reminder of the difference you make for our congregation and for God's kingdom, I hope you'll just reach in and take it out and get a little bit of encouragement and know that we all love and pray for you both. Now, for those in the congregation who didn't know about this, we tried to keep it a little bit of a secret. You can always bring a note or card next week. You can give it to them, send it by the mail, drop it by, put it in their box, and you don't have to wait till Pastor Appreciation Month in October. We should appreciate them 365 days a year. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Gay and David. We thank you that you brought them to this place for this time to serve us, to minister to us and through us, that through us, we help them by being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ throughout our community and our world. Thank you for their service. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'd like to call in Debbie Morgan for the offertory prayer.
Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this place, for this sanctuary, a sanctuary from the hectic world, a sanctuary to rest in your presence. We thank you, O God, for the many blessings you've given us, for the blessings of David and Gay and their ministry among us, and for all the many gifts that you give us each day. We pray you will accept our tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. May we remember the cost of our salvation as we observe the Lord's Supper today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Worship Choir for our special music today. And I want to speak on behalf of Gabe for just a minute and thank you. Thank you in advance of the gifts. We look forward to reading through those cards. And if you're like me, I'm going to read them all in one day. And then I'm going to file them away and pull them back out on some of those good days. You make it easy to minister as a church family. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you would join me in prayer this morning prior to encountering God's word this day. Let's pray. So many voices trumpet their greatness. So many images boast of their beauty, flaunt their power, squander their wealth, and all too many of them do so in your name, Jesus. And here we are in a world which is daily broken by the foolish arrogance of men and women just like us. And so we pray for the healing of humility to flood every corner of our world. Wherever there is exploitation and God-imaged people are dehumanized. Wherever there is neglect and the needs of the poorest are ignored. Wherever there is disdain and the sacred value of creatures and earth are denied. Wherever there is violence and the gifts of difference and dignity are rejected. Wherever people are tempted to think of themselves as better than others, more worthy, more deserving, more important to you, may your humility break in and challenge us, reminding us of our brokenness and need, and teaching us to serve and to love everyone with the grace and humility that you show toward us. Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here this final Sunday in the month of October here at First Baptist. Following the sermon today, we will participate in the Lord's Supper as we gather around to participate in the body and the bread of Christ this day. And this morning, I'm going to begin with a little bit different focal order than I normally have. Usually, I speak for a couple minutes and I get to our focal passage this morning. But this morning, I want you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. I'm going to begin by reading our focal passage of Scripture this morning. And as you turn to that passage, the words will also be displayed on the worship screens behind me. We examine Jesus' words about humility through the parable story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Reading Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 today. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. As we think about this story this morning, I want to share another one to kind of begin. The story goes that Vince Lombardi, the famous coach, football coach of the Green Bay Packers, was known for his monstrous ego, unwavering self-confidence, and gargantuan pride. Many stories float around Lombardi, some fact, some fiction. I can't tell if this is a factual story or a fictional story. But the story goes that Lombardi was at a championship playoff game. His wife, who often went to many of his football games, was unable to attend that game that evening. And the odds were stacked against the Green Bay Packers winning the game, but they somehow miraculously pulled victory from defeat. Now, Coach Lombardi was thrilled with his team's winning effort. When he got home late that night, his wife, who had not been at the ball game, was already fast asleep in bed. However, when Lombardi's ice-cold feet touched his wife's legs in bed, she startled awake and said, "God, your feet are cold?" Quick as a flash, Lombardi replied, "When we were in bed, honey, just call me Vince." Pride has been elevated to the level of a virtue in the world of American sports and entertainment, but also all of culture. We laugh about stories about proud people like Lombardi's cold feet. However, we are nauseated when we come face to face with an arrogant person who looks down his nose at us like we are a lower form of life. In Mere Christianity, one of my absolute favorite books, C.S. Lewis calls pride a spiritual cancer that eats up the very possibility of love and contentment, and even common sense. Pride is commonly listed as one of the seven deadly sins. Pride is a spiritual cancer that damages our souls, harms everyone in its path, and literally breaks God's heart. But in our focal passage this morning, Jesus condemns the sin of pride because he knows what an accurate picture such arrogant pride can bring. Yet at times, we have made the mistake as humans of going too far to the other extreme of pride, as if being humble is equated with being humiliated. True greatness in God's eyes comes not in exalting ourselves over others. Christ exemplified humility in humbling himself and becoming a man and dying on the cross. Stay proud and we will experience what the Bible says about pride. We've all heard that before. Pride goeth before the fall. But did you know that the word humility or humbleness, humility, comes from a Greek word humus, which literally means soil or dirt? God created us out of the dirt and the dust of the earth. One day, we will all return to that dirt once again. We are what we are by the grace, the very grace of God. Yet, humility is more than just a recognition of this dirt beginning for all of us. Real humility is a recognition of divine actions through our lives. The danger of pride is that we defy ourselves, equating our value with our God's. Humility recognizes that what I am and what I can ultimately be is by the grace of God. So instead of humiliation, which is one extreme, and instead of arrogant pride, which is at the other extreme, let's look for a better way. One of humble pride that leads to eternal confidence that by God's grace and God's will, God has an awesome purpose to fulfill in our lives. If we don't live every single day with that thought, we are failing to see how God works. Every single day, God has an awesome purpose for you. Are you filling it? Or are you trying to fill it with something else? Today, let's look at what I like to call markers of this humble pride that leads to eternal confidence in living life each day. Humble pride leads to eternal confidence if, and the first marker is this, we have to be honest in our need for God. Someone in our day who has prideful self-centeredness, we say, has the disease of narcissism. Raise your hand if you ever heard that before, narcissism. Now, keep your hands raised if you know where that came from. Yeah, it comes from the Greek mythology and the story of a handsome young man named Narcissus who fell in love with himself. Whenever he would come along to a pool of clear water, he would look at his own reflection for hours, admiring the view. One day he said to himself, "You are handsome, Narcissus. There is nobody so handsome in the entire world." So he stopped down to literally kiss his reflection in the pool of water. He fell in and drowned. to people who have fallen into that narcissistic view of their lives, Luke tells us in verse 9, the very first verse in this passage, Jesus told a story to some people who thought they were better than others and who looked down on everyone else. You see, in this parable, Jesus is calling us to humility, and he's calling out straightforward why he told the story. The best definition I have ever heard or read of humility says this: humility is not denying the power you have, but admitting that the power comes through and not from you. If you deny the power you have been given, you lie. If you have a fine, beautiful singing voice, then use it and give God the glory. Join the choir. If you can make the best chocolate chip cookies in the entire county, then make some and do something with it. Drop them off at your local fire station or police office. If we fail to use the gifts that God has blessed us with to honor him, we are lying to ourselves. The challenge of the parable is not to put ourselves down, but to lift our needs for God up. Humble pride calls for an honest appraisal of my need for God, because God knows my heart. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, he tells a story about the Pharisees. He says this, "You try to justify your actions in front of people, but God knows what is in your hearts. What is important to humans is disgusting to God." First Baptist Church of Elon family, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And that's scary, isn't it? You think about that again, just deeply. God knows you better than you know yourself. You see, we can fool the rest of the world, perhaps, but we cannot fool God. He knows the real you and the real me, even the darkest of our dark sides. But here's the good news. Despite God knowing us better than anything and being able to see us in the true, clear way of who we are, God loves us no matter what we have done nor what we will do because of what Jesus Christ did for us. That is why the call is to be honest, like the tax collector, in our need for God, because we all need him. But that's just the first marker. The second marker of humble pride comes in focusing on God's mercy, not my individual achievements. President George Washington loved to tell the story of an overzealous candidate campaigning for office. "Fellow citizens," said the candidate, "I have fought against the enemy. I have often had no bed but the battlefield and no canopy but the sky. I have marched over frozen ground until every step has been marked by my blood." This candidate told the story very, very well until one voter came up one day and asked, "Did you say you had fought in the war?" "Well, yes," replied the candidate. "And that you slept on the ground with the sky for your cover?" "Yes, many a times," responded the candidate. "And that your feet even bled in marching over frozen ground?" "That they did," declared the candidate. "Well, then I think you've done enough for our country, and you ought to go home and rest. I'll vote for the other candidate." The Pharisee in the parable likes to focus on all his "I do this and I do that" achievements, but Jesus says they are worth absolutely nothing. The tax collector has a better focus. Listen again to what he says in verse 13. "The tax collector, standing at a distance, would not even look up to heaven, but he beat on his chest because he was so sad, and he said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" Folks, there is danger when we get caught up in our achievements or our titles and fail to recognize that we too are sinners. The incredible purpose that God has for our lives comes by his mercy and his grace. The ultimate goal is not our achievements, but our relationship with him. God empowers us to fulfill this awesome purpose, not to earn his love, because we don't have to earn his love, but to enjoy the love that he already has for us. Humble pride does not focus on titles nor achievements, but the awesome, incredible grace of God. But there's one more marker. There's one more marker for this humble pride leading to eternal confidence, and that is, instead of comparing ourselves with others, we need to see others through God's eyes. Listen to the Pharisee in verse 11. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber or a dishonest person. I've not committed adultery. I'm not even like the tax collector. Returning to C.S. Lewis once again, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. And that's him. Sounds like a good description of the disease Jesus is dealing with in this story. The danger is when my eye is on me instead of my eye being on him. Or as one person put it, if you're wrapped up in yourself, you are overdressed. Life is not about how I compare with others, but how I'm doing in my relationship with God. James had a great solution to help us have humble pride, to see God and to see others through God's eyes. He says this in chapter 4, verse 10, and this is from the Message. He basically says this: get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way that you will get on your feet. When Ronald Reagan was president of the United States, he had a sign on his desk in the Oval Office that said this: there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he does not mind who gets the credit. Life is not about how I compare with others. God calls us not to compete, but to be completed in him. He calls us to see other people as he sees them, just as when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live and die for us. When you look on others, everyone, through God's eyes, you see people with love, with respect, and love again. This morning, I want to challenge you to take a risk with a dangerous prayer as we think about this humble pride. It's a very simple prayer. It's a short prayer. It's one of those you can remember. It's a prayer that you can say every minute of every hour of every day. And I encourage you to do it because I think this may be one of the keys to humble pride. And simply say this: Lord, keep me humble. That's it. Lord, keep me humble as I go into my workplace. Lord, keep me humble as I spend time with family. Lord, keep me humble as I enter my own home. Lord, keep me humble when I encounter the world. If we would begin with that, if each and every one of us that are gathered here, but literally across this world, would begin with that simple prayer, Lord, keep me humble. Think about the world in which we live in today. Lord, keep me humble. The final meal that Jesus ate with his disciples, the one we know as the Last Supper and we observe today as the Lord's Supper, was a lesson and a meal in humbleness. Jesus knew what was about to come, what he was about to experience. Jesus knew that the disciples didn't know everything. And one of the final lessons that he taught them was in humility. This is my body broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Life-changing lessons in humility. And so this morning, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, as we participate in this meal, I encourage you to say that simple prayer I just spoke just a minute or two ago. Let's pray. Lord, keep me humble. Amen. That night, as he gathered with his disciples, he took a loaf of bread. In an act of humility, he said this: This is my body that is broken for you. In the same way, he came to the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you. As you come to the table this day, as we bring the elements to you this day, as you encounter the body and the blood of Christ, do so with humility, because this was an act of love that continues to speak through us today. I'll invite our deacons to come forward at this time. This morning, I'll ask Susan Reinheimer to have a blessing of the bread this morning. In humility, Christ's body was broken for you. Take and eat. I ask Phil Thompson to have the blessing of the cup this day.
Dear Father, we come before you this morning acknowledging the gift of salvation that poured from the cross. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us from our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In humility, Jesus Christ's blood was shed for you. Take and drink. The night of the Last Supper, Scripture tells us that following the meal, they went out singing. Today we do the same thing. Now if you would stand and join me as we sing our closing hymn, and if you have a decision to make this day, in humility, come to the altar. Let's stand and sing.
We are one in the bond of one.
today, carry that humble pride with you as we go into a world that needs to experience the humility just as Jesus Christ modeled up for us. Go in peace.